Thank you, Judy. Thank you for your blessing God's people here this morning. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Ephesians. We continue our study through the book of Ephesians here this morning. The title of my message is The Hope of His Calling, The Hope of His Calling. Verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, a ransom for many. And Father, I thank you for the hope that you give to us as believers, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and you're a faithful God. And thank you that we can know you, Lord. And thank you that you are our God, and that you will walk with us through the valley in the shadow of death, that you'll be with us. Father, may you stir our hearts and minds here this morning. And Lord, may you help us to know the hope of your calling that you've given to us as those who believe on you. And Father, I praise you and thank you for your glorious name and the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit here this morning. Father, bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your Son, Jesus Christ, and advances your kingdom. So Lord, bless us as the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, I saw this DVD called The Harvest, and it was about a family out in the Midwest, and during the night, they lived on a ranch, and you know, they had wheat fields and horses and mom and a dad and kids, you know, and during the night, the father had an aneurysm and passed away. Anybody know what video I'm talking about here? You've seen this one, Karen? You know what Nancy knows. Jim, you know which one I'm talking about? Okay, you think, okay. And in the morning, the mom had to tell the children that their dad passed away during the night. I mean, just, and very, very difficult thing to do. And the young boy, as he was going through the days and weeks to follow without his dad around, I'd say he was around 12 years old. He's trying to take care of the farm. But how much can a 12-year-old do? And the wheat's growing and growing. If I start crying, just hang in there with me. I'll get through it, okay? Because there's a couple reasons I'll tell you at the end why it touches me so. But he looks out at the field, and he sees the wheat, and he hadn't any idea what to do. But he's the oldest son, so guess what he feels the weight of? Trying to keep the farm together for dad. And he didn't know what to do. And there's one scene shows him just kicking the gate, because he didn't know what to do. So, as the DVD rolls on, he's just thinking about this and looking over the situation. Then all of a sudden, he hears something in the distance. And you see this combine come over the hill. Then you see another combine. Another one, another one. All the neighbors gathered together and helped them get their wheat field in. And you ever felt like a young boy sometimes that you got the weight of the world on, you don't know what to do? And all of a sudden, there's an answer. All of a sudden, there's some hope. All of a sudden, there's a solution to the problem you didn't know what to do with. And, you know, as believers, I'll tell you, too, why that touched me. Because as a dad, I know what it's like to take care of a family. And that's to where I relate to the dad, but also relate to that boy. Because a young boy, my dad walked out on us. So I get it, what it's like to be without a dad and all. That's why that story touches me so deep. Every time I see it, it almost makes me cry. But why I share that is, Because if you look at verse 12 of Ephesians 2, and there's a one little phrase in there of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no what? No hope. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you look out at the fields of life and the wheat's coming in and you don't know what to do? You have no hope. You don't know how to make life work. You don't know how to put the pieces together. You just have no hope. Can people feel that way? People can feel that way because life overwhelms them and they have no hope. But look at verse 18 of Ephesians 1. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hey, you see this, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. If you know God, you have hope here today. If you know God, you have an answer when you feel overwhelmed. If you know God, God can work in ways you cannot see because he's God and you have hope in your life. And the Apostle Paul, as he pens these words, he wants the Ephesian believers to know where there's God, there is hope, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We have hope as God's people. Life is hard sometimes, and sometimes we don't know how to put the pieces together, but there's a great God in heaven that gives us hope. And we feel we have no answers, he gives us hope. Because he's God Almighty. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 here this morning. I want to give some scripture here this morning for you, for believers. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29:11. This is the word of the Lord. If you're a believer and you've been saved and you know God, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a what? And a hope." Now, how bad can things get sometimes? Pretty bad. But is there a God out there that can take the evil and turn it to good? Is he all powerful that he can do what he wants to do? Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts I think toward you." God has a plan for us. God has a way for us. God has a power for us that we know nothing about. And what God says will happen when he wants it to happen, how he wants it to happen. "I know the thoughts I think of you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we can have hope in the plans that God has for us. You may live in the nasty now and now, but you can sing about the sweet by and by that's to come. Is that true? That is true. And God can give us a hope because he knows what we're going through. And God has a plan beyond our plan, and God has wisdom beyond our wisdom, and God knows what will happen in our lives. And he knew it before it even happened to us because he's God. But he has a plan for us and a future for us and a hope. What happens to people when they have no hope? Well, when you have no hope, you can get very discouraged. You can get very withdrawn. You can just like check out on life. That's where people that have no hope end up. But when you have a hope, what does that do for you? It gives you something to focus on. It gives you something to look forward to. It gives you something that stirs and encourages you. The plans that God has for us in our future, that gives us a hope. Turn back over here to Ephesians here. That's a good verse. You ought to underline it in your Bible. That's a good verse, Jeremiah 29:11, because that gives you hope of a future. And that the eyes of your understanding, as Paul prays this prayer to God the Father, that God may work. And what you need for God to do to you in your life, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom to understand the revelation. That's the knowledge, and the knowledge of him, the revelation, the knowledge of him, that you can understand who God is. Now, I want to talk about a minute. Who is God here? Because God can give us a hope and a future. But our hope is based in the character of God. Is God all wise? He's all wise. There's none wiser than God. Is God all knowing? He is. There's none more knowledgeable than God. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He's God. His character, his attributes. Is God all merciful? He is absolutely all merciful. Is he all seeing, omniscient? He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He sees all things. He's all powerful, omnipotent. Is God all loving? He's all loving. Is God all faithful? Is God all goodness? Is God all gracious to us? That is the God that we have hope in. That is the God that loves us and cares about us. Is God faithful to his word? Absolutely. So our hope is based on the promises of God and the character of God that we have to serve. Now, in our times of affliction, turn to Psalm 119:71. Psalm 119. Now, we have afflictions, but Psalm 119:71 has a verse for us. Psalm 119. Verse 71. Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now think that through for a minute. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now, in our hope for God, it doesn't mean our life's going to go well. It doesn't mean everything is rosy for us. But it does mean that God can use it for our good. It was, David says here in the Psalm 119, it's good that I've been afflicted, I might learn your statutes. Somebody once says, God whispers to me in my pleasures, but shouts to me in my pain. Does anybody know what I'm talking about there? Does he speak loudly to you in your pain? And sometimes that's how we learn to grow as a Christian, to trust God. Why do we have trials? Well, it's to test us. It is to test us to bring the good out in us. Now, Satan, when he tempts us, he wants to bring the worst out in us. But when God tests us, he wants to bring the best out in us. So when we are going through a tough time, when we're being afflicted, God wants to bring the best out in us that we can learn about him and we can learn to be like him and we can learn to trust in him, that we can learn to have hope in him. It was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now, has God taught you a lesson maybe a couple times over? You know what I'm saying? You didn't get it the first time, and he taught you again. And sometimes that's the pathway we go down. But whatever road we go down, what we want to do is be in that stance of learning. We've been in that stance of receiving from God's hand because we want to have that hope that he gives to us, the hope of his calling. Because when he has called us unto salvation, when God has called us, that gives me that hope that at the end of the day, I'm going to be with God. And I'm going to be in that celestial kingdom, and I'm going to be in heaven where there's no more pain and no more sorrow, no more sickness and no more death. That's my hope that I look forward to. But right now, there's a lot of pain and suffering and sorrow. But I have hope, the hope of my calling, that it's worth being a Christian and it's worth believing on God and following his ways and keeping his commandments and that his word is a light unto me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God, I want to know you. In verse 71, it's been good for me that I've been afflicted. Why? Because it teaches us. And it helps us appreciate the good things we've had. And it helps us to know we can lean on God. The scripture says, when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. Because I'm trusting in him. My weakness can bring forth his glory and his honor in my life. So where did the hope of his calling? It's based on the promises of God, the plans I have for you, to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, that promise. The scriptures are filled with promises of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 here for a moment. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 39. I want you to think this thing through here. Hebrews 11, familiar scripture to many of us. But Hebrews 11, 39 says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony, they lived a righteous, godly life through faith. They walked with God. They shunned evil. They walked uprightly. Did not receive the promise." Okay, it wasn't a reality to them. God having provided a better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They did not receive it in their lifetime, but one day God gave it to them. Now, does God heal? Does God heal? Okay, he does. For a believer, on this side of eternity, if God doesn't heal them on this side of eternity, when do they get healed? When they get to heaven. So when you pray for somebody's healing that's a believer and God takes them home, did they get healed? Yes. Do you see how that works? God answers prayer. Now, they didn't get that answer until they got to glory. But God's promises are always true. It just depends when he's going to fulfill them. And we can trust God because God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And we can trust him. Ephesians says here, the eyes of your understanding being like, God wants you to see these things. See that you have hope in this world. See that you have hope in God, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. God gives us hope. God gives us hope. Turn to Psalm 62:5 here. How much do we put on God? How much do we trust him? Psalm 62:5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my hope is from him. My soul waits silently for God alone. How much hope do you put on God? Every bit of it. My expectation, my hope is from him. We have nowhere else to turn. If you put your hope in politicians, are they going to disappoint you? Absolutely, they're going to disappoint you. And so like one person said, the only way some politicians see the light is when they feel the heat. And they need to be put under the fire to make them do right. But that's another whole subject for another time. But for us as God's people, we put our hope in him alone. How much do we put on everything? God, you're my hope. I have nothing else I can trust in. My soul waits silently for God alone. He's my only hope. That's who I trust in. That's who knows me best. That's who knows my situation. That's who knows my downsittings and uprising. I don't look to man. I don't look to financial resources or fame or power or whatever. I silently wait for God alone. That's my hope, my expectation. My hope is in him alone, is from him. Our hope is based in the promises of God, in the character of God, in our surrender to God. I put all my hope in him. My hope is in God alone. And turn to 2 Corinthians 4:18. Concerning hope, 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18. Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need eyes of faith to see God. Blessed in the pure in heart, for they shall see what? God. When you have eyes of faith, you can see him. You can see his fingerprints everywhere if you believe and take him at his word. There was a Russian cosmonaut one time, didn't believe in God, and he radioed back to Earth and says, I'm up here in space and I don't see God anywhere. Scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. And you can be spiritually blinded that you don't see. And all you see is just the temporal things. That's all you see is just the temporal things. But God is a reality because he is spirit. And we that know God worship him in spirit and in truth. These things are temporal. The only things, if your hope is just based on temporal things, there's no hope. There's no enduring hope for you. But if your hope is based on the eternal things, which are God and God's sovereignty and his authority and God's creative power, we don't look at the things that are temporal because they're temporary. We look at the eternal God that changes not. Now, how powerful is God when you have hope? How powerful is he? We'll turn to Isaiah 43. How powerful is God? Isaiah 43. How powerful is God that I have hope in? Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Verse 18 and 19 says, Isaiah 43, 18, and do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That sounds like a pretty powerful God, doesn't it? That sounds like a pretty powerful God that can make a river in a desert. How powerful is God? Children of Israel up against the Red Sea, Pharaoh behind them. Did God make a way for them? God made a way for them. And in our lives, we have to realize that it's not my power that's going to get me through or my wisdom. If you're just trusting in yourself, it's like a fellow representing him, being his own lawyer in his own court case. Somebody once said, well, if you represent yourself, you got a fool for a lawyer. Because two heads are better than one. And if you're just trusting in yourself, you're not doing real good. Because God is all powerful and he can do anything. And we have hope in that. How big is your God? Well, he's big enough to do what I can't do. Don't remember the former things, the old ways, when you walked in the flesh, nor consider the things of old. Well, it's always been this way. Behold, I will do what? A new thing, something you've never seen before. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? God is faithful if he says it's going to happen. I'll make a road in the wilderness where there's no way to cut through the brush and the rocks and the hills. God can do that. Can God make a river in the desert? He can do that because he's God. Yeah. Peter. Herod arrests him, put him in jail. He already killed James. Church hears about it. What do? They called what? A prayer meeting together. And they were praying, God, get Peter out of jail. He's our leader. We need him. The angel what? Delivered him out. Is that making a river in the wilderness? A river in the desert? Is that what God's doing? Got Peter out of jail by the angel? He goes, knocks at the prayer meeting. Little girl Rhoda goes to the door, hears his voice, runs back in and said, "It's Peter at the door." And what did they say? "You are what? Out of your mind. How big is your God? Can he do things that's impossible for us?" He can. He can do that. So what's our hope in? In ourselves? No, no. It's in a great God. See, when you get saved, you have God on your side. When you get saved, you have hope. In Paul's prayer here in Ephesians, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, that you understand, that you can grasp, that you can put together the workings of God in your life, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. You know God now. The eyes of your understanding, you can see, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you have hope here this morning as God's people? Do you have hope? Do you have hope? You have hope?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, if you have hope, there's other people in this world that have no hope. Remember in the beginning? We read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without who? Without God. Do you know anybody like that? Do you have hope? Can you give some hope to some other people? Because there's some discouraged people in this world that are broken by sin and life has crushed them. And they need some hope. They need some hope. Can you be one that gives them hope? You got the hope. Can you give that to them? Can you be faithful to giving that out to others that don't know God? This world needs some hope. And we need people that know God and love God and not ashamed of God that says, "I have some hope here." Because the world may be falling apart, but guess what? God's not. Because he's in control. And he knows the end from the beginning. And we can have hope in him. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look to this topic of hope here, the hope of our calling. Father, you have a future for each of us. Jeremiah 29:11, God. And Father, we have tribulations and troubles and problems, but Lord, they're to teach us your statutes and your ways. We learn to trust you and not ourselves, that others can see us standing our ground and trusting the promises of God. When others see no hope, God, we have hope in you. And God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That's our God. And Father, we put all of our hope in you. My hope comes from you alone, God, not in myself, not in my resources and my wisdom or knowledge or whatever, Lord. It's only you, God, that we have hope in. And Father, we trust you. We love you. We need you. And thank you for our Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray for those that are here that need some hope here this morning, God. Maybe among the saints of God, some of us are discouraged, Lord, or overwhelmed. Maybe we feel there's no hope in this situation, but God, where there's God, there's hope. And I pray that we would cast all of our cares on you, Lord, because you do care for us. And for us that are strong, may we come alongside those that are struggling. And may we give them some hope and confidence in your word and the promises and in the hope we have as believers in our great God, that one day, Lord, you're coming back again to rule and reign in this world, and your reign shall be forever and ever and ever because you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, thank you for the hope we have as believers, that we don't perish as others that have no hope. Father, thank you for the hope you give us that your word is true and that we can count on it. And Father, faith is not faith until that's all we're holding on to. And Lord, I pray that each of us would exercise our faith and our hope and our love in thee, God, to stand strong in a crooked and perverse generation, God, to stand strong in our hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're our hope, God. You're our strength. And we commit these matters into your hands for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's all stand here as we close our service here as Jim comes to lead us.
Take your hymnals again to 143, Be Thou My Vision, 143.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my light, be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou. King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
join us this evening at the church here, 6 o'clock. All are welcome. And Dan, would you close our service in prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our hope, Lord. I thank you that through you and through your Son, Jesus, we have hope of eternal life. We pray now, Lord, that you'll bless us as we go. Give us safety and bring us back in your accorded time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face to shine upon you and all God's people.